The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome. It is Monday, January 10th. Hard to believe. Albin, we have a very big guest today, both hours. Folks, I don't know how to describe her except John Zmirak, as usual, tipped us off to her. He's not a producer on the program, but he has been very helpful to us because he seems to have his finger, on the pulse. And he said, you need to check out Julie Kelly at American Greatness. What's American Greatness? Well, it's a new website where if you want to read what's really happening in America by reputable people, that's a place to go. So Julie Kelly's been writing a lot about what actually happened a year ago, January 6th. It's because of her reporting that we, if we're paying attention, are dismayed. Because there has been nothing to compare to the level of gaslighting in the United States of America since our founding. It's a gruesome moment if you love liberty. But Julie Kelly, by the grace of God, is doing extraordinary reporting. And we're going to talk to her when we come back from this segment. So this is very exciting. I can't believe finally that we get to talk to her. And by the way, I can barely believe she exists because the idea that you know, there are these people that we don't know about. They are being heroes. They are doing the kind of reportage that the mainstream media has not been doing.
Yeah. And she has a brand new book out. It's called January 6, How Democrats Used the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. So this is fiery stuff, folks.
It is fiery stuff. And I got to tell you, I wish it were partisan garbage. I would be thrilled. It is not. It is not. Unfortunately, it is not. Okay. Yesterday, I spoke at King's Church here in New York City. I just posted it on Twitter. And you can, hey, Albin, now's the time for me to say, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up for my newsletter, we will send you all of these videos. You don't have to hunt for them. You don't have to be on social media if you don't like. And by the way, if you can stay off those places, good for you. But go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll send you out these videos and things. But yesterday, I spoke at the 11 o'clock service at King's Church downtown here in New York City. The pastor's David Engelhardt. He was on this program talking about his extraordinary book, Good Kills. And I think he'll be on again in the week or two ahead because he has a lot to say in that book. But he's a pastor of a church, and he allowed me to speak from his pulpit yesterday. And we'll have that for you. Albin, did you say that you and your current wife watched this as it unfolded yesterday?
That is absolutely true. We watched it live. You were very impressive. It was a wonderful sermon that you gave. And we usually go to Jonathan Kahn's church in Wayne, New Jersey, but we were both feeling a little bit under the weather and said, like, you know what? There's a guy named Eric Metaxas, and maybe he's almost as good as Jonathan Kahn.
Right, so right. We watched. If you're under the weather, I'm your man.
Yeah, that's right. So, oh, boy, did that perk us up. We feel much better today. Thank you.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, I love that church. It's kind of amazing. I didn't even know they existed a year ago, and they're just there are many things, fun things to do in New York if you visit New York. Now, today, people would say, why would I visit New York? I get that. And we won't talk about that right now. But I do have to say that there's some wonderful churches. You can visit us while we do the show from our fabulous TBN studios. There's a lot you can do. Actually, I want to mention this before we go to our guest, Julie. We we were doing all through December a fundraiser for CSI, Christian Solidarity International. They asked us if we would continue it through the middle of January. And of course, we said we would, because we know there's still folks out there who didn't get a chance to give. And we want to say to you, folks, this is one of the most wonderful opportunities you could ever have to free someone from slavery. It's like going back in time to a time when slavery existed. And you could say, for a little bit of money, I could free a human being no different than I am, who happens to find themselves enslaved, genuinely enslaved in a place where slavery is a thing, where it's legal. Horrifying. But you don't have to travel back in time. Sadly, the horrors of the past have come to the present. And right now in parts of Africa, blacks have enslaved blacks. So in case you're under the misapprehension that slavery is a racial thing or a racist thing, that's not true. It is an evil thing. It is a sin thing. And anybody who tells you that one race is more wicked than the other is a racist and is speaking evil, speaking against what the Bible teaches, that we're all made in God's image and he loves each of us equally. But this is a reality today, and we can do something about it. You can go to our radio website, metaxastalk.com. And I really do want to say that if you're not moved by this, I guess either you're not listening or you're confused. I want to tell you, this is real. This is not metaphorical slavery. This is real slavery. And CSI, because they are there and because they know the players, they have people working on this who know how to reach out to those. Usually it's a Fulani tribesmen who are enslaving Christians. These are radical Muslims enslaving Christians. We can buy them out of slavery. It's a long story, which I won't go into here. We've talked about it on this program with Kevin McCullough. But I want to
can I give out the phone number? It's 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. $250 or any portion of that helps free a slave today in Africa. So
well, it's just amazing that you can do this. This is what keeps blowing my mind, that I think it's horrifying and wonderful, because it's horrifying that this exists in our day. But the good news is that today if you care about this kind of thing, you can do something wonderful and significant. So the phone number, 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. If you haven't done it, please do it. It's just a couple of days left in the campaign. It's a magnificent opportunity, folks. Yeah. Let's put our money where our mouth is.
And there's a banner at the very top of our website, metaxastalk.com. You can go there and donate through that banner as well. So do it today before you forget. Please, folks, do that.
Alvin, in hour two, we might have a couple of minutes. I want to share, someone wrote a letter to the program. I like when people say to the program, to me, but we say to the program. Yeah. There's a literary term for that. Is it synecdoche? I don't think so. There's a literary term for that where you refer to the throne and you really mean the queen or the king. People have written to the program and they have said, they ask questions. And I want to answer one of those letters because I thought it was an interesting letter concerning the state of America and some of the comments I've made on that. So maybe we'll do that in hour two. We'll talk to Julie Kelly in both hours, but I think we'll have time at some point in hour two to talk about that. Can I tell you what I've been reading?
Please do.
I just find it funny. I don't know what people think I read, but I really like Jules Verne. Jules Verne is often thought of as, those are books for kids. Absolutely not. C.S. Lewis wrote about this concept a lot, how there are genres that we think of as for kids. They're not for kids. Fairy tales is that kind of a genre. You think that's for kids, isn't it? No. It is often used for kids because it seems to be thought of as safe, or it falls out of fashion with adults. But the books of Jules Verne, there's something so innocent and charming. Often they are very, very funny. I mean, he's a Frenchman writing in the mid-19th century, but his stuff has been translated into just about every language. I read it in the English. But it's sort of this antique way of communicating that I find really funny and enjoyable. And so I just read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I read Journey to the Center of the Earth. That is what I finished this morning. Anyway, we're out of time right now. When we come back, we're talking to Julie Kelly. Very big deal, folks. Don't miss this.
When you're drifting, comes a time when you settle down, comes a light.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a 3-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the 3-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Folks, welcome back. Remember I told you we had an exciting guest? Well, promises made, promises kept. That's originally with me, by the way, in case you want to know where that came from, promises made, promises kept. That's Eric from Texas. Julie Kelly is my guest. Julie, I want to talk to you for a long time. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Eric, thank you so much for having me on. Great to connect finally.
It's very, the work you're doing, unfortunately, is extremely important. And so you've written a book titled January 6th that gets into what happened on January 6th a year ago. The subtitle is How Democrats Used the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. It's a horrifying thing to say, but it's infinitely more horrible because it's true. And there are many Americans that can't possibly believe this. They'd rather go along with the reigning narrative that some bad people tried to take over the government, whatever. And unfortunately, folks like you and me, but you in particular, we have to stand against this with the facts. And so before we get into the book, which has been praised by all kinds of people that I respect hugely, not least our friend John Zmirak, I want to ask you, who are you and how did you come to writing a book like this? Because I do think it's important for folks to know how we have journalists like you doing great work like this. That's so important. What is your background?
So I often ask myself what I did to deserve this, to be one of, you know, a couple of journalists who are digging into the details and behind the scenes of what happened on January 6th. But I've been a political writer at American Greatness, samgreatness.com, for the last few years, writing about politics. I focus mainly on Russiagate, and then, of course, lockdown policies, the COVID pandemic, and then election fraud in the 2020 election. And so that sort of led me up to January 6th. But my past writing can be found at National Review and The Federalist. I've had guest columns in Wall Street Journal and other publications. But I write now exclusively for American Greatness.
When you were growing up, where did you grow up? And did you know that you wanted to be a journalist?
Well, I grew up in suburban Chicago, where I am still to this day. My background is in politics. So I worked for a variety of Republican candidates and office holders in the suburban Chicago area and some in the city, believe it or not, on certain policy proposals. So I mostly did speech writing, communication, outreach, press secretary role. I was for a few elected officials here in the suburbs. I took more than a decade off to be a stay-at-home mom, and then got back into politics after my girls were both in school full time. So yes, this is something I've wanted to do for a long time, really my whole life. And I think all my background in politics, communication, policy has kind of prepared me for covering what happened on January 6th and certainly the consequences, how the Democrats are exploiting what happened on January 6th for all sorts of political ends.
Well, I have said that it's our Reichstag fire. Anybody familiar with Germany in the 30s and what happened, how the Nazis seized on what happened with this, you know, 24-year-old Dutch maniac decides to light their Capitol building on fire, right? And it really did burn. But they seized on this to create their own narrative and to crush all dissent that they possibly could. Really gruesome when you think about what they were able to get away with. But it's infinitely more gruesome when such a thing could happen in the United States of America. So it is horrifying that this is real. But I just thank God that there are folks like you brave enough to dig into this and to do the work. So let me ask you, for starters, you know, I know that you worked at National Review. What do you think happened that the leaders in the conservative world of a certain stripe decided to go so really strongly against Trump and along with a lot of these increasingly obviously preposterous narratives, Russiagate being the most ridiculous, the most preposterous? But what do you suppose happened? And I don't know if you have an answer, but I just have to ask you that, because when somebody like you is doing work like this, you know those people, I know those people. Mm-hmm. What do you think happened that made them double down on that way of thinking and against your way of thinking?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because my first book, which was released in the summer of 2020, is about Never Trump, and I call it Disloyal Opposition. So, Eric, I think there are a few factors in play what happened with the Never Trump movement. So, of course, it was really launched with the January 2016 magazine issue of National Review called Against Trump. And this is where all of their editors and writers, I think there were more than two dozen, explained why Republicans should not nominate Donald Trump as the Republican nominee for president. Of course, no one listened to them. He was nominated. And some of them then, after Trump won, and certainly after he started initiating a lot of his more conservative policies, recognized, okay, maybe we overdid it. We're going to embrace him. He's the president. Now we need to support him. But then you had a bigger faction who dug in their heels and I think saw a way for themselves to refurbish or rebrand themselves, sort of their dying political reputation, thinking about people like Bill Kristol, who really was the leader of the Never Trump movement, the founder and publisher of the Weekly Standard, which of course then went out of business in the Trump era. But then a lot of them have been paid by left-leaning billionaires, the founder of eBay in particular, Pierre Omidyar, who has dumped millions of dollars into Never Trump projects to sort of pretend that they are the moral, righteous Republican conservatives opposing Donald Trump. Well, it's one thing to find you could oppose Donald Trump. Maybe you don't like that he's been married a few times or his career choices or some of the things he did in his past. But they extended that, Eric, as you know, beyond Donald Trump to his associates, to Republican lawmakers, and then to the entire Republican Party. By the time the 2018 midterms rolled around, you had Never Trumpers who were longtime fixtures in the Republican Party and conservative movement who were actively imploring their followers to elect Democrats to take over the House and Senate, which, of course, they did take over the House. But then you have, I know, our mutual friend, quote unquote friend, David French, whose shtick now is to act like the righteous conservative evangelical Christian attacking other Christians for supporting Donald Trump, questioning their faith and their religion because they're backing Donald Trump and now Republicans. And now you see also going along, not only with the idea that the 2020 election was legitimate, which we know it wasn't, but also that January 6th was an insurrection and that anyone involved or related to it should be punished severely. So this has just basically been their shtick for 6 years. They just are useful idiots for the left.
Well, again, it's some of these things make sense and some of these things make no sense to me. I think maybe I referred to this. Well, I've referred to this many times, but I thought if Trump did nothing except one thing, he brought three originalists to the Supreme Court. That's a third In 4 years, a third of the Supreme Court, we have originalists who believe in the American founders' version of the Constitution and think that good legal scholarship says that, this, no, it's not a living Constitution. It says what they meant. That alone would make Trump a hero to people who call themselves conservatives. But they seem to act as though he never did that. And again, he did so many other things. But if he had done nothing else, it strikes me that that would just be a gigantic accomplishment. When you think of, you know, folks like Reagan, who is lionized constantly by conservatives, who brought us people that are that are the enemies of what we think mm-hmm. of as conservative thinking. So that alone, I find very strange.
Well, and just going along with what you said, Eric, I also think the beauty of the Trump era was to fully expose the immoral rot and corruption, irredeemable corruption of our major institutions in Washington, D.C. And of course, that we're talking about the DOJ, the FBI, now the CDC, many of the three-letter institutions, as people like to call them. They have been fully exposed for the highly partisan and unaccountable, vengeful actors that they are. And as Trump used to say, it's not me they hate. They hate you. He's just the proxy. And boy, do we see this now on steroids related to January 6th. And this is what I talk about in my new book. And it's not just now going after Trump or his family members or his closest associates. It is now going after regular Americans who dared to protest the election of Joe Biden, something that Americans do every 4 years. And not just going after them, but criminalizing political dissent, trying to silence political, constitutionally protected political activity. And this is only going to get worse. And we see this with the DOJ investigation, which I talk about, but certainly the January 6th Select Committee targeting not just Trump, but anyone in his orbit, including former officials and certainly Republican lawmakers now that we see them targeting people like Jim Jordan.
Forgive me, Julie. We're going to go to a break. Folks, we have Julie Kelly for both hours. The book is January 6th. We'll be right back.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Hey, folks, I'm thrilled on the program to have as my guest Julie Kelly. She writes for American Greatness. You need to be aware of American Greatness if you want to get actual news, actual journalism. The new book is called January 6th. Julie, we're just thrilled to have you. Congratulations on the book. Tell us, first of all, if somebody says, I don't know what happened on January 6th, I'm actually one of those people that I look at what happened and I think to myself, what happened doesn't strike me as rising to the level of much of anything. That everything that seems horrible, the more I look into it, the realize, well, nothing really happened there. It's made up. The only bad stuff is kind of on the other side. How much... I think maybe the reason they're able to get away with gaslighting the American public on what happened on January 6th is because it's confusing, because there's so much. Mm-hmm. We don't actually know what happened. I mean, look, if a couple of senators had been murdered, I would say, okay, I don't know what led to it. I don't know the details, but I know that some senators were murdered. I know that something happened. Now we can have a conversation. But to this day, I don't have the beginning of an idea of what happened. When people talk about violence, what do they mean by violence? Some people broke some windows. Who were those people? I just have no concept of what actually happened.
So I think the way you described it is what leftists do. They make things very confusing. They set the narrative very early. They gather evidence, propaganda, really, to persuade the public of what they are seeing. At the same time, they cover up other aspects that might be more revelatory in terms of telling the actual truth of what happened. So you have these optics that people have been seeing for over a year, people climbing on the scaffolding, the same couple of people who broke windows, or only a few of them. You see confrontations with police officers. That all happened. But what we aren't told, and what the government and Democrats and Justice Department are desperate to cover up, is what led to all of that. Here are a few unanswered questions that I think a year later, we still don't have answers for, and we need answers for. Number one, why did Nancy Pelosi and Muriel Bowser, the DC mayor, deny offers of additional security at the Capitol that day? They rejected offers of thousands of more of National Guardsmen to be at the Capitol grounds to help protect the building and protect lawmakers. Why did they deny those offers? What happened to the pipe bomber? This is a question I get a lot. This really set off some of the panic and hysteria, and certainly the media hysteria that day, that allegedly pipe bombs were discovered outside of the headquarters of the RNC and then the DNC. Now, Eric, this happened moments before the joint session of Congress was scheduled to convene, that they did convene at 1 o'clock. Allegedly, the first bomb was recovered about 5 minutes to 12:55. Where is the pipe bomber? They have used every surveillance tool, including geofence warrants, to collect cell phone data of anyone who was in Washington, D.C. that day, but they can't find the pipe bomber. We also have no evidence that it was a legitimate explosive device. There's no investigative report about this. I often joke that maybe CrowdStrike has the pipe bombers. If you recall, CrowdStrike was the DNC-connected firm that actually was allegedly took the DNC server that was supposedly hacked by the Russians. So those are a few of the unanswered questions. Also, what about the people who still have not been charged to this day? Ray Epps, the man who is seen instigating, imploring people to go into the Capitol building. You see him in the crowd on January 5th. You see him on a number of occasions on January 6th. A year later, he's not charged with any crime, while hundreds of Americans have been charged with trespassing. They didn't even know they were committing a crime. So you have a lot of people who still remain uncharged, which bolster suspicions that the FBI, which we now know had hundreds of agents, at least hundreds of agents, on the ground that day. What were they doing? How were they dressed? Were they in the crowd, inciting the crowd? Were they trying to protect the building and lawmakers? Were they communicating to other law enforcement of what was happening? So the fact that you have these very high profile individuals who still aren't charged, and at the same time, more evidence, the FBI did a lot more than they initially told the American people that they did, and the fact that they did not want extra security that day, all of these factors create, I think, not a conspiracy theory, but create legitimate questions that need to be answered, and that the Democrats and DOJ are refusing to answer, and we need to know why.
Well, do we have any clue at all who this man Ray Epps is?
He has ties to the Oath Keepers, which, as you know, is one of the three alleged militia groups that Christopher Wray considers members domestic terrorists. So there was a group of Oath Keepers at the Capitol that day. And about 20 of them now have been charged in what is really the government's biggest conspiracy case. So he is tied to the Oath Keepers in Arizona. But if you go back to the Oath Keepers case, person one in every single indictment, and I believe there are now six superseding indictments in this Oath Keepers case, they're being charged with conspiracy, conspiring to attack the Capitol, et cetera. But person one, the top co-conspirator, Stuart Rhodes also has not been charged. And Eric, I would direct your viewers to revolver.news and read a lot of Darren Beatty's exceptional investigative coverage of Stuart Rhodes and Ray Epps and the Oath Keepers, and legitimate questions why neither one of those men have been charged.
We're going to pick this up, folks, talking to Julie Kelly. The book is January 6th. Very important. Stick around.
I was cutting the rug down at a place called Jug with a girl named Linda Lou. When I in walked a man with a gun in his hand and he was looking for...
Folks, Eric Metaxas here. Somebody just handed me a piece of paper with insane information on it. But I know it's true because the other day, I literally got a phone call from Mike Lindell telling me, Eric, you got to check out. And then he tells me about this towel special, right? And he says, you got to tell your audience. Okay, so here's the special. $39.99 if you use the code Eric. Normally $109.99. We're talking about the towels that work. We've talked about this before. It's a technology where the towels actually do the job of being absorbent, and you know that whole thing. So they're amazing towels, but you can get a set of six towels for $39.99. You have to use the code Eric. Go to mypillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and or you can call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the code Eric.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I want to remind you to go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the CSI banner. Last chance, very important. Everybody participate to some extent, please. MetaxasTalk.com. I'm talking to Julie Kelly. Julie, your book is January 6th, and you're laying out some facts here. And what is your conclusion based? I mean, you've looked into this a lot, but is your conclusion roughly what mine is as I listen to you, that the fix was in, that people like Nancy Pelosi, I mean, this is chilling, that the Speaker of the House of Representatives was in on wanting to create an incident that would give them political leverage against their enemies? Can this be happening in America? Is this possible?
It is a hard reality to confront that the people in power are that evil, are that immoral, are that desperate for revenge against their political opponents, including millions of Americans, that they're capable of doing such a thing. And it's been a tough reality to confront through my reporting over the past year. But Eric, when I listen to these lying prosecutors, what they say in charging documents, the accusations that they make against American citizens, when I listen to federal judges berate Americans for parading in the Capitol, accusing them of trying to overthrow the government, sentencing them to 30, 60, 90 days in prison, people with no criminal record, just for walking in and out of the Capitol for 10 minutes where they thought they had been permitted. When I take in what I hear and what I read, I do believe that that is exactly what this government did on January 6th. It was months in advance. You only have to go back to some of the lockdown rallies, for instance, in Lansing, Michigan in April of 2020, that created a lot of the same optics, a lot of the same news coverage. I considered a dress rehearsal for January 6th. So this is not far-fetched conspiracy theorist thinking. This is all backed up not only by the facts, but as I said, the cover-up. Where's the 14,000 hours of surveillance video I talk about in my book that the government considers classified information? Why can't the American people see what was captured on publicly paid for security cameras that day on government grounds? Why is all of that under protective orders? So you have these two things happening at once. And I do think, Eric, we are already starting to get to the bottom of really what happened. And I think this year we'll find out a lot more.
You mentioned that Revolver News is a place where people can read about this as well. I want people to go to American Greatness and to read what you write there and to get your book January 6th. But you mentioned that Darren Beatty writes for, is it revolver.news?
It is, yes, revolver.news.
Well, so the information is getting out slowly, but it's chilling. Let's be honest. It's chilling to me because you have a lot of conservative news outlets seemingly against the narrative that you're talking about. In other words, here you are saying at the very least something fishy is going on. They seem not to talk about it. I know that Ben Shapiro seems to come out on the government side in this. I'm just baffled why people like Ben Shapiro or some of the folks in National Review don't seem to be as troubled by what seems to be in front of us. I mean, do they think you're making this up? What do you suppose they're thinking when they're confronted with this kind of information?
Well, I don't know that they're really confronting the information. I mean, I'm happy to send Ben Shapiro, who does a great job on many aspects, but I think that he is misguided on his interpretation of January 6th. And so I'm hoping to have an opportunity to speak with him as well about what I talk about in my book, National Review, last week. Instead of condemning this abusive, punitive prosecution of hundreds of Americans, a political prison in the shadow of the U.S. Capitol. You now have dozens of men being held for now, some of them almost a year under pretrial detention orders as their trials are being delayed to the middle or even end of this year. There's no condemnation at National Review about what Democrats and the Biden regime are doing to exploit 4 hours in the Capitol over a year ago. No, who did they blame? Donald Trump, once again. I think a lot of it, Eric, is just laziness. I think these people are just in their safe little sinecures. They get paid by big donors. They don't have to do the detailed investigative work. I don't think anyone at National Review has listened to one court hearing about January 6th. Their reporting on this is very thin. And to the extent that any is involved, it condemns really Donald Trump and Republicans. But also, Eric, it's not just conservative media. Where are the Republican leaders in Congress? You have Kevin McCarthy again today saying it. Everyone agrees that January 6th was just bad, really bad. Well, okay, I agree it was bad, but not in the same way you think it was bad.
Listen, this is I try to do this at least once a week and just to make the announcement. Kevin McCarthy's pathetic. There are people in leadership that are so pathetic, they make me sick. They have a job. They are honored. They are honored to represent Americans in our legislature. They're not doing their job. They're playing political. They're playing politics. But shame on them. This is such a scandal right now. I just want to say that. I am just scandalized by people like Kevin McCarthy and others. I cannot get over the fact that they are. I mean, look, they're just pathetic. I think they end up being the handmaidens of evil, but I don't think they are themselves evil. I just think that they're pathetic. I do want to ask you, though, you know, when we're talking about National Review, and it is strange to me that there are people who don't care about injustice. I mean, when you hear about people being imprisoned who were involved in January 6th, you think this doesn't bother you that people kind of got swept up in some kind of madness. We all have seen videos of Ashley Babbitt being escorted into the rotunda, walking in there, following the lines, not even going outside the cordons that are there. People just walking. It's obvious that there's no insurrection. It's obvious that at least these people are not involved in it. So to me, it's scandalous if people aren't scandalized that in America, when this kind of thing happens, we ought to count on our government and our citizenry to say we care about truth. But just as we have had horrific racism in our past, we have people right now saying, if you're for Trump, we're not going to be worried about if you get in trouble. You're different.
That's right.
You're not my neighbor. You are not my, I don't care about you. And if you suffer, it serves you right. That's not America. When we come back, folks, continuing the conversation, the book is January 6th, Julie Kelly, the author and my guest.
It's far beyond a star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out.
Folks, talking to Julie Kelly, both hours today. The brand new book, January 6th, which is an expose on what actually happened and what we can know as of now. So, Julie, again, what actually happened based on your reportage is dramatically different than the narrative we're getting. The candlelight vigil that the Democrats put on the other day, all of this just ridiculous theater mainstream media and to some extent conservative media is going along with this. What gives you hope that the truth is coming out?
I do think that at least if our Republican leadership, as you said, Kevin McCarthy, who is just very weak, let's think about this. Last week, he released a video, a little montage talking about what Republicans were going to do. They stand up for this, they stand up for that, stand up for law enforcement. He included clips of the U.S. Capitol Police in this video. This is the agency responsible for the near point blank execution of Ashley Babbitt outside the Speaker's lobby on January 6th. And here is the Republican leader of the House of Representatives commending this police agency, who not only is responsible for her killing, but covering up the name of the officer who did it for months on end. This is the agency who still lies to this day that Brian Sicknick was killed in the line of duty by Trump supporters. And here you have Kevin McCarthy including them in a clip instead of other police officers across the country who are under siege every day in major cities as Democrat governors let crime run rampant. This is how tone deaf and out of touch Kevin McCarthy is, and shame on him for commending U.S. Capitol Police and now going along for the most part with this January 6th narrative. But Eric, I do feel like the rank and file, the base of the Republican Party are increasingly outraged about what they hear about January 6th, are increasingly suspicious and convinced that the government played a much bigger, if not animating, central role in what happened that day. And they are starting to call for Republican lawmakers to be held accountable. I don't know if you saw what happened with Ted Cruz last week, but he called it a violent terror attack. He was blasted on social media, really by everyone, and had to go on Tucker's show last week and quasi apologize for what he said and did. But he had to walk back those statements. And I think that's reflective of where most Republicans are about January 6th. We are not going to let them use the language of the left and go along with this war on terror against the political right.
Well, this is why, you know, John Zmirak is a hero to me. And now you are as well, because you're making clear where the lines are, that, mm-hmm. that if you're going to play that game, Kevin McCarthy and God forbid, Ted Cruz, if you're going to play that game, you will get swatted down instantly by people who are outraged at your cowardice, who are outraged at your maneuvering politically in a way that does disservice to great Americans who care probably more than you do about our institutions, like the vote. Is that your stomach or my stomach? It's one of
no,
our.
No, it's stomachs. It's my dog.
I knew that, Julie.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what it sounded like on the other side. Sorry.
I didn't have any breakfast, and sometimes my stomach gets away from me. I have to say that when politicians at this time now play that game, they will be called out by you, by me, by Tucker Carlson and John Zmirak. And down the line, there are many of us who have said, listen, you don't seem to understand. We're in a war for the soul of the republic. If you cannot stand at a time like this, we have no use of you. You have become the enemy of the republic. If at a time like this, you want to play political games. We'll be back in hour two. Continue the conversation with Julie Kelly. The book is January 6th. I hope you get a copy. I hope you go to American Greatness and familiarize yourself with Julie Kelly and her reporting. We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.